Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Two-strike pitch. It's a drive down the line. If it's Ferentz's moment, it is! It's tied! George has arrived!
I mean, you can't even hear him finish his call.
It gets loud there, doesn't it?
What a moment.
Here's the pitch. High fly ball, deep left field. Down the left field line, it is off the fair pole.
Wait, what?
Hey now. Three-run homer, Aaron Judge. This game is tied at 6-6.
What a moment. I get it. It's Kansas City radio. We're all Royals fans. Well, most of us are Royals fans here. And that wasn't about the Yankees last night.
No, it was not.
That was a moment in sports that has been lingering for many, many years. And whatever cliche you want to use, monkey off the back, weight of the world off your shoulders, the judge arrived.
Yeah.
And he had been there all postseason. And there's a few times in sports where you can kind of feel a moment coming. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You've had that in Kansas City more often than not, but more recently, the Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl. When Mahomes did the run against Philly, you're like, okay, this is a moment. It's going to happen, and it does. And last night, Yankees are getting obliterated. Nobody in the world in pinstripes can get Vladimir Guerrero Jr. out. There's about to be a statue in Toronto with that man.
And there should be.
And there will be.
And there will be, yeah.
He stayed. He got a contract. Yep. They paid him for moments that he's doing.
I don't think it's hard to say or wrong to say greatest Blue Jay ever. I mean, there's been some good ones, but
yeah, Dale Carter's up there.
Joe Carter.
Or Joe Carter's
yeah,
up there.
Yeah, you know, he definitely is right now. Yeah. But if Vlad Guerrero continues to do this and he leads that team to a championship and sign that big contract, oh, yeah, he'll go down in that lore.
No doubt. And the game is, you know, 6-3. And it's that moment, right? Judge comes up, guy fumbles a ball in the outfield. Toronto had been giving them chances all night.
Mm-hmm.
And Judge got a fastball inside at 99.7 miles per hour. It was 1.2 feet inside of the center of the zone. And it is the first time in the pitch tracking era, so since 2008 when they started doing the stat, regular season or postseason combined, that a hitter has homered off of a 99-plus mile-an-hour pitch that was also that far inside.
It was an amazing stat. I saw that last night or this morning as well. I'm like, God, they've got some kind of measurement for everything, don't they? And I think when you hear something like that, it kind of puts it into perspective on how massive a home run that really was. That was off the hands for Aaron Judge last night at 100 miles an hour, right? And he put that thing off the left field pole. And as I texted you last night, it's done. It's over for Aaron Judge, right? He is now officially off the hook. He does not need to do anything else because at the end of the day, you look at what he's done now in this series alone, he's hitting over 500. He almost hit for the cycle yesterday, you know, in that game against the Blue Jays. And he came through in the biggest possible moment that you can have. And if you don't think that Aaron Judge has finally arrived and he's finally there and he's finally off the hook, what else does this man need to do? Because last night, he showed you why he is the MVP most likely of Major League Baseball. He took over that game last night. He absolutely 100% took over that game. And then Dusty texts me after a catch Aaron Judge makes last night. He goes, God, this guy just does it all. Something to that extent, because he made that great catch the next inning.
No, I said he's still not done.
Yeah, still not done. That's so what it was.
No, after he hit the home run, because I texted Bob, and I was like, this is it. This is the moment. And he goes, it's funny you say that. The radio, was it WFAN?
Yeah.
They're like, this is the Judge moment.
Right.
And I mean, it was 100-mile-an-hour piss missile right down the middle of the plate that he just misses. And then he comes right back inside, or I guess a little bit more inside, and it goes and it goes and it goes, doink, off the wall. And I mean, the TV broadcast microphones blew.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bronx went nuts. And again, like, you can be like, you guys are Yankees fans. No, we're baseball fans.
Baseball fans, sports and, fans. This is a sports moment.
This is that moment. You know, this is the, what's the guy, you know, the, in Boston.
Carlton Fisk, yeah.
Carlton Fisk doing the wave.
Yep.
This is, you know, this is Alex Gordon off of Familia in center field. Those are baseball moments when you see that. Like, Familia was lights out as a closer. The Royals are down to their final three outs. Kaboom, yep. Home run to center field. And, you know, when you watch that happen and you think about Aaron Judge and you think about the Yankees, yes, it's okay to hate the Yankees because of Jazz Chisholm or because of guys in the past like Clemens or whoever it may have been. Maybe you don't like Jeter.
Right.
And Judge doesn't have that aura about him. At least somebody who's a diehard Kansas City Royals fan, I've never, ever been like, God, I hate Aaron Judge. Everything about him is exactly what hometown athletes are, right? Fresno mm-hmm. State College. Gets drafted by the Yankees, been a Yankee for life, been a multi-time MVP, 60 home runs, 50-plus home runs, but always in the playoffs. He never, ever has done it. And then last night, in a time where their season is over,
right?
It's 6-3, you don't know how many more cracks at the plate he's going to get or an opportunity he's going to get, and he's been hitting well. You know, he had, what, like 10 hits in the series so far, and then, boom, hits the foul pole. And it's like, not only was it a relief for Aaron Judge, but for Aaron Boone, for Yankees fans, for baseball fans that love moments like that, that's just one of those all-time iconic moments last night. And again, they may lose today, but Aaron Judge has won.
Well, yeah, Aaron Judge has won. And I was going to text you that last night. Regardless of what the outcome of that game ended up being last night, Aaron Judge won last night, and he is officially 100% now off the hook. He doesn't need to do anything else in the playoffs to continue talking about his legacy. Now, he does need to get a world championship for that Yankee lore, but when you talk yeah. about lore outside of the Bronx, you look at baseball, you look at sports in general, Aaron Judge is finally off the hook, right? Baseball is a team sport. He's done everything he possibly can to lead his team to victory. He needs everybody else to come alongside. They may lose today. They may not. I mean, we've got an opener going for Toronto today against Cam Schlittler, who's pitching tonight
in the
Bronx.
That. They were talking about that.
Every single one of you pronounce his last name. You kept first.
Schlittler. Oh, well, he's the master. Schlittler. You now your turn.
Sound like Hitler.
Oh, my God. No. All right, let's go to
break. Excuse me.
I'm going Cam.
Yeah. You can't say that word on television. Well, it was FS1 or 2 last night, depending on where you found it.
Well, there's
the
that rain delay. It was a buzzkill.
Yeah, it really was. But you know,
Schlittler.
The Yankees were playing.
Will H.
No, there's no H in there. The Yankees are playing, you know, obviously desperate because it was an elimination game last night, and they're playing, you know, with their hair on fire, and they played awesome last night, and Aaron Judge was huge last night. Your stars are stars in big moments, right? That's what we say all the time. You know, we look at around, you know, the game, and we can even go back to Monday night. The Chiefs didn't win that game, and the Chiefs have 3 losses on this season because their stars haven't been stars. Travis Kelce dropping passes, Chris Jones taking plays off, Harrison Butker not being able to hit the broadside of the barn.
Mahomes, those are your stars. In the red zone.
Right, exactly.
Never does that,
you know.
Literally.
Yeah, right.
He's never done that.
Well, he's got 2 now this year.
Yeah. Or I guess a pick 6 in the red zone.
Yeah, he literally has never done that before. But you're right. You can throw Mahomes into that one with that interception as well. Your stars have to be stars in big moments. And if you're a Chiefs fan and you're looking at that Yankee game last night, you're going, what does that have to do with anything? The Yankees played desperate last night. I think the Chiefs need to be playing desperate on Sunday, because if you fall to 2-4, then it really is desperate times. You're at 2-3 right now. It's not that big a deal. You've got to play desperate. You've got to play Sunday, I think, if you're the Chiefs, like the Yankees played last night, like it's an elimination game, like you're playing for everything that you possibly have. You're going against a really good opponent. Your stars have not really been your stars, you know, for the better part of this season so far. People are talking about the end of that dynasty, just like they were talking about Aaron Judge and the Yankees. Oh, it's over. Aaron Judge has never had it before. And then Judge goes out there and has a game like he's done last night. He's had a series like he's had so far where he's hitting over 500 against the Toronto Blue Jays. He's a star. He's doing his best to power his team. And that's what you need. When guys get paid the big money, they need to be the biggest stars. And Aaron Judge had not, Dusty, been that big star until this series against Toronto, until last night when he hit that home run and the entire perception of Aaron Judge changed of who he is and what people now think of Aaron Judge. He came through in the biggest of moments. It's not a huge moment on Sunday night for the Chiefs, but it's a big moment for them. It's a desperate moment for them. They need to play desperate, just like the Yankees did last night. And I'm sure the Yankees are going to play desperate tonight. I mean, you're going against a bullpen in an elimination game in game four. And as you said, in the Bronx. And I'm like, yeah, in the Bronx on top of that. Like, this is where we are with baseball. It's game four. It's an elimination game. And you're rolling out a bullpen game.
What are you doing tonight?
Well, we got four elimination games. Tonight's the only night this week we don't have anything going on. So
well, you
got like,
Survivor. 7 o'clock, CBS, better believe it.
I would normally be not jealous, but I would be watching those fans in the Bronx and I'd be thinking, you know, they get everything.
Yeah.
But what I saw was people that were happy that this guy got the monkey off his back. And it was like, I'm glad I'm here for this moment.
Yeah.
And Dusty, I could feel that moment coming earlier in the game as well. And you mentioned them pitching him up and then in that at bat. The at-bat before, I think two innings before that, the Yankees were down by five, and I'm like, man, I think Judge is going to do his – I think the Yankees are going to win this game, and Judge is going to get that – I can feel this kind of in the air.
You can feel it coming at Yankee Stadium, you know?
You can, and he lined one down the line for a double, a couple runs scored, and it was up and in, fastball, and I was like, man, if that was a half inch farther out over the plate, that ball's going 450 feet next time up, you know, high, lofty fly ball down the line, and – as a guy who hates the Yankees, I'm kind of like, oh, stay fair, stay fair, stay fair.
Yeah.
It's a great moment.
It wasn't because it wasn't a Yankee moment.
No, it's a sports moment. It's
as
a
contradictory
moment.
As that may sound, it was a sports moment because now even if the Yankees lose today, it won't be Judge's fault for the first time in his existence as a player for the Yankees.
Yep.
And their manager is hoping that he gets food poisoning and bad sleep.
John, you mentioned a great player turning around 100. You're a couple of innings into this game. Are you thinking, are we going to be able to get out of here without Judge heavily impacting the series? And what do you think now that he has?
Yeah, man. You look at it like that, you know, he's had a good postseason. You know, he's had a good postseason. He's had a pretty good career, you know. I think him and Vlad kind of are taking their game to a different level. You know what I mean? You can kind of look at those two guys as really rising to the occasion. Mm-hmm. He's someone you're always aware of. You know, we're always aware of where he is, you know. And I think they've done a good job of putting good players in front and behind him in the lineup, too. So there's times where you just don't want him to swing. There's times where you say, okay, you know, let's get after him. And, you know, I'll take 100, 101 with some nasty breaking stuff executed any day of the week. And it just didn't work out today. But, you know, hopefully, you know, he gets a bad night's sleep and has some bad food tonight or something like that. But it's, you know, you can give him credit, man. That was a ridiculous swing.
No doubt about it. Ridiculous moment, ridiculous swing. A ridiculous announcement was made yesterday and maybe a ridiculous story of one Chiefs great that we'll get to on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in about 25 minutes, we'll get to Jay Binkley, who will join us. Solid college slate coming up this weekend. We got Illinois, Ohio State, big noon kickoff, Missouri, Alabama, Red River Shootout. Those are just some of the few that I can think of.
That's enough, isn't it? I mean, that's a hell of a slate right there. If you got them boom, 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 back to back to back, you're ready to go.
I would think so. I mean, that's kind of the day for you. And then you wake up on Sunday and boom, NFL arrives and the Chiefs and Detroit Lions will play on Sunday night. Before we get into that, something kind of awkward happened yesterday, again, involving LeBron James.
Well, everyone's on pins and needles across the country. You ready to go, LeBron? Where's the powder?
Left it at home.
LeBron, fans want to know where you're taking your talents this year. What's your decision?
In this fall, man, this is tough. In this fall, I'm going to be taking my talents to Hennessy VSOP.
VSOP? And this was the conclusion you woke up with this morning?
That was the conclusion I woke up with this morning.
Why?
I feel like it's going to give me the best opportunity to win more at hosting. And not only that, win at signature cocktails, win at having a good time, win at impressing guests, win at making memories, win at making it look easy, win at leaving people wanting more.
LeBron, appreciate it.
So there's that decision. 2.0.
That's like the fail sound on Price is Right, man. Like, that was just a waste of everybody's time.
It was a wet fart.
Yeah. It really, I mean, I don't even know what's worse than that.
Because yesterday was October 7th. October 6th from NBA Central. Ticket prices for the Lakers' final regular season home game have absolutely skyrocketed. The cheapest seat is now going for $445 when they face the Utah Jazz. Just hours ago, those same tickets were only $85 until LeBron's tweet sent prices through the roof.
Yeah, and I looked at StubHub this morning, $385 roughly to get in the game that day, and it said their tickets selling fast, right? Because everybody was running to buy those tickets yesterday for LeBron James. That was a waste of everybody's time. Like, look, we've talked for years about Aaron Rodgers being narcissistic, right? There's never been a more narcissistic human being in professional sports in the United States than LeBron James. Everything is about him. It is all focused around him. An advertisement for liquor is surrounding LeBron James, knowing that people are kind of waiting for what he's going to do. I'm convinced that this is not LeBron's last year. We've got at least two more seasons of LeBron James because he's not going out without a year-long fanfare. Does he deserve it? Probably. He's, you know, one of the greatest of all time. But we know LeBron James would be making it all about himself because that's what he does. Everything he does is about himself, right? He is a narcissistic human being to the nth degree compared to Aaron Rodgers, who we haven't heard from all year, and I'm good with that. But LeBron is all about LeBron. So we know we're going to get another one of these probably in a year where he maybe makes his official announcement that he's retiring. I'd love him to pull a Johnny Carson and say goodnight and you never hear from him again. But we know that's not going to be the case. He's going to get a rocking chair at all of these places. He's going to be celebrated at all these places. And he should. He's been a great, obvious ambassador and basketball player. But that thing yesterday, that was dumb. That was a waste of people's time.
Something that wasn't a waste of people's time yesterday was the news of the day. The Bengals finally said enough with Jake Browning, and they're going to go get a quarterback. Joe's back, but not Joe Burrow, Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals send a sixth-round pick to the Cincinnati Bengals, and this trade indicates two things. One, Cincinnati is still going to try to win because they know their division is wide open.
It's
right?
Wide open, man.
Pittsburgh's already had their bye, so their off week is done. Now they've got to go play the rest of their season.
Yep.
And do you trust that team to stay, you know, do you expect them to right the ship the rest of the way? Baltimore, we know, is struggling bad.
And they're still the favorite to win that division, by the
sure.
way. As of yesterday, the Ravens are still the favorite to win that division.
Cleveland, we know what that's going to be.
Right.
And now Cincinnati, who is, I believe, 2-4 on mm-hmm. the season, still have a chance. And can Joe Flacco bridge the gap until Joe Burrow comes back? This also lets us know that the trades are starting a little earlier. And Adam Schefter said on Sports ESPN that he expects that each Monday and Tuesday until the trade deadline that we are likely to see deals adding up to around 10 to 12 before the November 4th deadline. So hold on for another month.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of trades going on. It kind of lets you know a few things like, Are the Chiefs going to be in this market? Are they going to go add something? Because the first 3 weeks of the season, a lot of people were saying, we need to get a running back, need to get a running back. Now that's kind of shifted to, I think they should get some help on the defensive line or the edge. But this is the first of many. This is kind of the first one that rocks the ship, because another storyline here is, guess who's the backup now in Cleveland?
Yeah, well, maybe not, though. I mean, I've seen conflicting stories on that. One story says he is the number two, Shedeur Sanders, that is, who we're talking about. Another story says he's not the number two. I'm thinking, who do you have if he's not the number two at this point?
We are officially on watch.
Right, because Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders are now the only two quarterbacks on that roster, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, like five at the beginning of the year.
Well, who's the fifth one? Because they traded Flacco, obviously. They got rid of Kenny Pickett earlier, you know, this year. They've got Dylan Gabriel on the roster.
Is that one weird? Weirdos still count?
I don't know. I don't know.
Snoop Huntley involved in the mix?
It sounds about right.
Is he on there? Is he on the team too? Is he? I mean, because there's a good chance that Chet plays for the Cleveland Browns. I think you may be right about that, because I remember talking about him earlier in the season. But if Shedeur is the number two, yeah, he's a play away from now being that starting quarterback in Cleveland. It is both, is how I'm looking at this trade yesterday, right? Does Joe Flacco make the Cincinnati Bengals better? I don't know, but he could be the first quarterback to beat the same team twice in a year with two different franchises, right? If he goes out there and, you know, beats the Packers this weekend, who the Bengals have, he would have beaten the Packers with the Browns and with the Cincinnati Bengals. That's kind of cool from that standpoint. I don't know how much better it really makes the Bengals, but I will say this. Like, if you're a Bengals fan, which I don't know why you would root for that organization and team, but if you are, you got to feel pretty good about your front office as saying, hey, we're not going to die here on the vine. We're going to do what we can to try to maximize the talent on this roster with our two wide receivers, our Trey Hendrickson that we brought back for, you know, obscene amounts of money for this season. We're still going out there and we're still going to try. And we're still going to try to put our best foot forward until Joe Burrow comes back. So as a Bengal fan, you got to feel good that your organization did that, because as Dusty said, that division is wide open, man. That thing is as open as can be right now in the NFL. And it's amazing to me that that division is so wide open right now, because nobody's playing good football other than Pittsburgh, and nobody wants to anoint the Steelers. Everybody's like, yeah, the Ravens will figure this thing out. They made a trade yesterday to bolster their defense.
Brother.
Yeah. Which is, you know, how many more of those are we going to see, right? Because there could be a few more of those. What if they trade Trey Hendrickson out there Trey Hendrickson, but you know, what if the Ravens need a running back and all of us, or not the Ravens, but the Chargers need a running back, and all of a sudden they say, hey, you want Derrick Henry? Brother type trade, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if that's going to work out.
So Bailey Zappi, thanks to the text.
Okay.
Line,
Bailey Zappi is the guy.
Squad. He's on the practice squad. And as of right now, Deshaun
Watson, yes!
is listed as designated to return on the PUP list.
Oh,
so I
God.
Think for this weekend, Shedeur is at number two. But in general, not so sure.
How long are we waiting for Deshaun Watson to return from the PUP list?
Hopefully never.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't deserve to play in the NFL. Playing in the NFL, as we talked about last week, is a privilege, not a right. I don't think Deshaun Watson has earned the privilege to play in the NFL.
Watson, yes!
That guy sucks. So playoff odds for the Chiefs, they have the best, they have the fifth best odds to get to and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they currently have the second best odds to win the AFC.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people yesterday, obviously down and out because of the loss and all the, you know, the stuff we saw from Chris Jones to Harrison Butker to Mahomes throwing a pick six. And of course, you know, I want to go see what national television hosts have to say. And Colin Cowherd's show, obviously, on right when we get home. And I was kind of surprised what his reaction was, because I kind of felt the same way.
I'm telling you, Kansas City's coming, and they're coming fast. Kansas City averaged 7.6 yards a play. Before last night, a team that averaged 7.5 yards a play had won 33 straight games. I don't care what the final outcome was. Jacksonville's a ridiculous winning team. But I was impressed with a team that lost yards per play, first down, rushing, red zone. Kansas City's a better team. They're a very young team, and they had 13 penalties. Andy Reid is going to coach those mistakes out of them. I think Kansas City's good and getting better, so congrats to Duval. But this morning, I feel Kansas City's a better team.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that, right? Like, the loss does sting. I'm not going to lie. Like, I was even talking to Spectre about it. He goes, yeah, I haven't been that mad like you were in a long time. I go, no, this is the
pit. Or most, Alex.
Yeah, or Alex. But I think for all of us, I think after that game on Monday night, I think that was the most pissed off we've been in the Mahomes era at a game, right? That was as angry as we've been. And you take a step back and you realize they did everything right in that game except for the penalties. And I think Colin makes a great point. Andy Reid will coach that out of these guys, right? You're going to, like, he's coached Juwan Taylor now for 8 quarters to not have a penalty. I know they called that one on him. That's not on him. That's on the wide receiver Thornton, who didn't line up Thornton properly in that scenario. So Juwan gets, you know, called for the penalty technically, but it's not on him. He's gotten that guy to play 8 straight quarters of mistake-free football. Andy Reid is unbelievable at what he does as a leader inside. They had 13 penalties. What do you want to set the over-under on for penalties on Sunday night against Detroit?
4.5.
That's where I was going to go. I was going to say 4.5, and I might take the under on that one because there's going to be the come-to-Jesus meeting like they had with Juwan Taylor. They're going to have it with all 53 of these guys now and say, look, guys, you cost yourselves a win. Duvall didn't beat you, right? You beat yourselves because of these 13 penalties. Do you want to continue doing that? Do you want to continue doing that? Do you want to continue doing that? Because if you do, we're going to show you the door. We're going to show you your way out of here. And that's the message that needs to be had. These penalties need to end. And if they can get Juwan Taylor to play 8 quarters of mistake-free football, Andy Reid can eliminate 13 penalties from other guys on the field.
And they're still going to get Rashee Rice back. Xavier Worthy's going to get healthier, you would think. Yep. I think the ankle, you know, obviously with another, you know, sort of week to prepare for this game. I'm sure his practice will be limited today as they will get back to the practice squad or to the practice field as well today.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you look at what that game was and you have time and you have 48 hours now to digest it, there were a lot of first times, right? 14-point lead, mm-hmm. up 14-0, first time the Chiefs had lost. First time Patrick Mahomes on a pick six inside the red zone. That team drops an interception that changes the whole perception of the game. They, you know, there's a couple of plays that could have been batted down. I know Trevor Lawrence threw a great pass to Brian Thomas Jr. Could have been deflected.
Mm-hmm.
The pass to, what is it, Travis Hunter, the one that he just threw up in the air. And for some reason, I don't know where Shamari Connor was going, but he just kept running through and looked lost.
Yeah.
Those type of things you don't really see all the time, excuse me, with this Chiefs team. And, yeah, they lose that game, 31-28. Jacksonville goes down and scores and will pretty much walks it off. But, again, like, those things don't normally happen. And I'm going to look at the sample size that I have, that is the Kansas City Chiefs in the last 9 years, and I'm going to take that side of the argument than just take a 48-minute game and say that's who the team is, because that's not who they are. And I know that there is panic because they have 3 losses in 6 or 5 weeks on their schedule. And it's merited to have that sort of feeling because this is not the norm. But also, the norm is not what you watched on Monday Night Football. And now they will get a test to prove that to us all on Sunday night against a good team in Detroit who was also beat up on the defensive side.
Yeah.
But the love of my life also made me relax last night when she had this to say about the Chiefs.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but let's take a look right now at some of these miscues. 13 penalties. Andy talked about it after the game. Most they've seen since the wild card, the wild Monday nighter, sorry, against the Rams. Way back when, pre-COVID, long time ago. That's the first time they've blown a 14-point lead since the 2021 AFC Championship game against the Bengals. The first time that they've outgained an opponent by 150-plus yards and lost since 2019 against Tennessee. And that is the first time ever Patrick Mahomes has thrown a pick six in the red zone. It was my, like, world stopped seeing that. It was insane to watch that. This is not Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes football. They, of course, know that they have to be better. But I am low-key impressed. I wouldn't say impressed. We saw, like, I'm encouraged. I'd say that long-term from now on. The offense looks explosive again, doesn't it? It was sloppy, but at least they looked explosive. They're going for it. You can be mad at Chris Jones for his effort. You can be mad at Butker for kicking the ball out of bounds. I don't know what's going on there, but we're certainly monitoring it. But we're not slandering Andy. We're not doing that. This is an aberration. The team's going to figure it out. And from Kansas City, you want to know something? If you're a Kansas City fan this morning, why don't you stop trying to fire your Hall of Fame coach? And why don't you look at some perspective for breakfast here? Have some perspective in that the Chargers and Broncos have not exactly taken advantage of the opportunity, okay? The Chiefs are just a game back of the division lead. LA's gotten bad injury news on bad injury news. Amarian Hampton now missing the next 4 weeks. Chargers still favorites, of course. Kansas City, close one, though, at +185.
Hammering the 185?
No, of course. I mean, they're going to win the division. I mean, it was just 2021 when this team was sitting at 2-3. So it's not like this is uncharted territory right now. And they've been in these tough situations before. They were down with 13 seconds to go and found a way to win a football game, right? We have seen this team overcome so much adversity over the years. And until I don't see it, I'm going to continue to believe that they're going to continue to overcome adversity. And this is one of those games on Sunday. I just feel really good about this one already, because I do feel like the Chiefs are going to play in that desperate mode, because they need to be playing in that desperate mode. And when you play in that desperate mode, I think sometimes good things happen. You start to finally realize, okay, we're hitting our stride and we're going to go out there and we're going to take care of business. We're going to not let the Detroit Lions hang around. We're going to go out there. We're going to get up early. We're going to score early. We're going to score often, and we're going to keep them at bay. And I think that's the mindset that they're going to have going into this game. They better have that mindset going into this game, because it is a very, very, very now important game. A couple of things that Kay talked about. She mentioned the Bengals and Tennessee. We've talked about those games already this week. Those are the moments that you look back on that are the, as she used the term, the aberrations in this Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes era. Like, these guys have been so successful, so good, so unbelievably awesome at what they do, that literally everybody knows, like, the three moments to look back on where they didn't get the job done and say, yeah, this isn't going to happen. The Bengals game, the Tennessee game, the Raiders on Christmas Day, right? Those are the three games that we all kind of go back to and look at and go, boy, they didn't get it done. And what happened after that? It was a bad performance. But you know what they did after those performances? After the Bengals game, they traded Tyreek Hill and won two Super Bowls. After that Tennessee Titans loss, what did they do? They went on and won a Super Bowl. After that Raider Christmas Day loss, what did they do? They went on and won a Super Bowl. So when they hit rock bottom, when you think it's like, oh my God, this is awful, and we're not in rock bottom territory for an organization, we're in rock bottom territory maybe for some fans right now. If you believe this is rock bottom, the last couple of times that the Chiefs did hit that quote-unquote rock bottom, they've bounced right back up, and they took it and they won the Super Bowl because of it. And so I think sometimes a little adversity, a little struggle is good for this football team. They need to see it. We talked about it yesterday a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. This team is not great at losing, okay? They're not used to it. They're not comfortable with it, and that's a good thing. But you also have to understand how to embrace it and how to use it for good. And I think they've done that in the past, and that's because of Andy Reid. Every time it looks like, oh my God, what are we going to do? This franchise finds a way to spin it around, and they find a way to get a win. And I guarantee you, even though they're a favorite, I'm sure everybody this week is going to pick the Detroit Lions to win this game. And rightfully so.
Chiefs are favored by 2.5.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, it's 2.5 now? It was 1.5 before the game against Jacksonville. If they're now a 2.5-point favorite, my goodness, everybody's loading up on the Chiefs already early in the week. But I think, like, most people are probably going to pick the Lions to win. They'll make great cases why the Lions should win this game. But you can't factor in those intangibles. You can't factor in the mindset of Patrick Mahomes, the mindset of Andy Reid, the mindset of Steve Spagnuolo. At the end of the day, they still are the best at the three, I would say, most valuable positions in your organization: head coach, defensive coordinator, and quarterback. They're better than everybody else at all of those positions in the NFL. There's not a better head coach, there's not a better quarterback, and there's not a better defensive coordinator in the NFL. We have them all right here in Kansas City, and that gives us such a leg up, such an advantage on everybody else. And when they hit rock bottom and everybody's talking negative about them, that's when they're going to thrive. And I expect them to go out there, and I think they're going to have a great game on Sunday.
What say you, Nathan?
I want to give a shout out to Kay Adams for bringing up that Titans game from 6-7 years ago. That was the game that Mahomes was just back from his injury from. We had no idea what that knee would look like. And then he's throwing jump passes to Mecole Hardman. And then the Chiefs still lose. It was very confusing.
Well, they lost because they were running the same damn play on the field goal. And the Tennessee Titans timed it. And they knew exactly what they were doing. That was a fail by Dave Tobe in that game. And they haven't had that problem since.
That's true. But I came away with the same feeling as I did from the other night of, like, this. On Monday, they had 480 yards of offense and lost a football game. Are you kidding me? Now that things turned out all right that season, the defense turned it around down the stretch, and we know where that went, and I'd be fine with that happening this year. Bob, I go back to what you said yesterday about personnel versus the mistakes that they're actually making this year, and we're not worried about them not having a left tackle or not having a wide receiver, which we have for years now. Since the Tyreek Hill trade, since the Eric Fisher injury, we've had those concerns. It is, hey, can your Hall of Fame tight end, defensive tackle, stop making those mistakes? Mahomes has been great outside of the pick six. I mean, he has to own that one, and he has, but he's been great. And then, do the coaches fix the special teams penalties, you know, the formation penalties. I trust all of those people to do those things.
Right. And ultimately, even with the 13 penalties, it still comes down to your stars being stars. If Mahomes doesn't throw that pick and Bucker doesn't kick it out of bounds, they win that football game. They win that football game. And I'm not blaming Patrick Mahomes at all for that loss, believe me. But as we talked about when we started the show with Aaron Judge, when your star players show up and they play big, you win. When your star players don't show up, Chris Jones, and don't play big, Chris Jones, you end up losing those games.
And since it was a loss, we didn't talk much about it. But as much as we can sit here and say, hey, if he doesn't throw that pick six, they win. Got to get some love to Nick Bolton as well for that play on the goal line.
Yeah, right.
That could easily undo that argument right there.
Yep.
The Jaguars could just as easily say, well, I mean, if Lawrence gets an inch further before Bolton punches that ball out, you know, they win by two scores or whatever. So McKenna got lost in the shuffle, but incredible play by Bolton.
It was, yeah. And you're right about that. It does get lost in the shuffle, but that was an unbelievable play. I thought at that moment, too, that's a game-changing type of play right there. Oh, that takes the wind out of their sails. Credit Duvall for staying in there and hanging out. But now, that as we move forward, you look at the big picture and you go, guys, if you didn't clean up the penalties, if Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes and Chris Jones is Chris Jones, they win that football game. And what I mean is Patrick Mahomes doesn't throw an interception in the red zone ever and did. And that happened, and it was a mistake by him. Great play by Lloyd again. I'm not taking anything away from that guy. Unbelievable play. But it goes back to you. These guys are stars for a reason. When they play their best, that's when the team wins. Any team in professional sports is that way.
Last year they were 15-2. They were 11-0 in one score games, but there was no offense.
Right.
This year they're 2-4, 0-3 in one score games.
It's crazy.
But the offense is there. They're fifth in points per drive. They're second in yards per drive. They're eighth in total yards. They're ninth in passing yards, and they average 25 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
This team and its offense will continue to thrive, but will the defense get better? It is a Wednesday, so I want to get into our Fesco and Dusty poll question.
I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
You can head over to the X page and look up the fan 965 Fesco and Dusty Wednesday poll question. Who do you have more confidence in turning it around the rest of the season, Harrison Butker or Chris Jones? We will ask Jay Binkley that exact same question because he joins us on the other side here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He loves beer and chewing tobacco, football and boobs. He knows Bobby Bowden, he knows Pete Carroll. He likes a 3-4 defense. Tobacco, football, and boobs. He knows Bobby Bowden. He knows Pete Carroll. He likes a 3-4 defense. He's Jay Binkley.
Better believe it. Every Wednesday, same time. You don't even need to say your schedule. You just know it happens. Jay, before you get started, Bob's got a stat for you about these Chiefs that maybe you didn't know about.
Yeah, a lot of people are kind of writing these guys off, Jay. 2021, they were 2-3 after their first five games where they are right now, and they went on and made it to that AFC Championship game against the Cincinnati Bengals. I just feel like when their backs are against the wall, man, they seem to rise to the occasion. They make those changes necessary, and that's kind of where I'm sitting right now because I think this team today is better than that team in 2021 that was sitting at 2-3.
Yeah, I think people forget about that. 2-3 that included losses to the Buffalo Bills and the Chargers,
People thought the sky was falling. Then the Chiefs get back to 3-3, Bob.
Yep.
And then they went to 3-4. So then they went to 3-4, and then they played the New York Giants. Harrison Butker kicks a field goal with a minute left in the game, or they would have been 3-5. But they end up going 4-4, so they went under 500 twice early in that season, but they ended up turning out all right, and we know they should have beat the Bengals in that AFC title game. That was so close. A few things here go here and there, but they didn't. But they still went to the AFC title game.
Yeah, and that's why I think a lot of people are looking at that game on Monday night, and they're like, all right, I'm pissed off for the first time, you know, in the Patrick Mahomes era, maybe at a regular season football game. But in the big picture of things, this is a team that is still one of the best teams, I believe, in the NFL. Their offense is now starting to click on all cylinders. They made some mistakes from a penalty standpoint, but by no means are we throwing out this team and saying the season's over because they're sitting at 2-3.
You know, I heard the dumbest thing yesterday. It was from former NFL player Chris Kenny on that on ESPN. And he was saying he fears the Chiefs are getting complacent now. There's no complacency with this team. They don't like to lose. They're not you're not complicit in losing. If anything, they're driven to keep winning. But that was the dumbest comment that you could make against the Kansas City Chiefs, because they don't settle in and they don't accept losing. It's like they don't accept it. They try to fix it. So, yeah, just settling in and realizing that they're going to lose games is not something they do.
It's amazing how guys who played the game have no clue compared to guys like the three of us that sit around and talk about the game. I'm always amazed by that. The guys who played the game have less knowledge about the game than people who watch the game and cover the game.
Oh, it is. In this, you know, the whole refs against the four favorite, the Chiefs. The Chiefs are third in the NFL in penalties. And I don't know. I like what Cody said yesterday, and he's right 100%. Did you notice the announcers? Like, if the Chiefs get a call for them, everybody brings it up. The announcers are really starting to do it. Oh, man, this favors the Chiefs and all this. But if the penalty happens to favor the other team, it's like, oh, it's just human error. It's human error that happens. Referees are humans, that happens. But there is a little bit of slotting towards the Kansas City Chiefs and the officials. The announcers are not doing anything to help perpetuate that myth.
Yeah, well, screw them. Bigley, exactly. There's obviously 2.5 is the line for the Chiefs this weekend against Detroit. Their secondary's beat up. You got to think with this offense that is clicking, again, we're one more game away from getting number 4 back in the receiver unit. You got to think there's something going on with, like we always say, what does Vegas know that we don't know? And they've got the Chiefs as a 2.5-point favorite minus 148 on the money line.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they want. I do think Detroit brings in, well, they're number 2 in the NFL in sacks. This is one thing that Detroit does is get after quarterback. But like, you know, you guys were talking about yesterday, they're hurting in the backfield, losing 2 cornerbacks.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like Terrion Arnold's going to be gone for the year. He'll come back at some point. Not sure what Vegas is thinking. One thing they don't do is look at how the Chiefs kind of feel like their backs are against the wall and they're at home and they want to at least get to 500 before they lose Rashee Rice. They kind of lose that human factor, just like making the Baltimore Ravens favored at Arrowhead Stadium. They were buying into that, but you don't make Patrick Mahomes the underdog, obviously the favorite in this one. But Patrick Mahomes and his Chiefs, they know what's ahead of them. They know just getting to 500, how big that team is, having Rashee Rice come right back.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. What do you expect out of Chris Jones this weekend? Do we expect him to look at that performance and turn it around and play big on Sunday night against Detroit? I think he needs to.
Yeah, I think so. I think he will. I think his desire, a strong desire, you know, still to be there. I think he takes a lot of things too personally and just needs to settle down and calm that team. He's the captain. He's got to calm these guys down and put them in the right place. I mean, it showed the team a lot when he comes back and barely makes the game coming back from the funeral. That showed his teammates, you know, his commitment to them. But, you know, showing, you know, the iPad on the sideline or the with the players, you know, out of position and stuff like that, that doesn't help. It doesn't help when you try to lead and you're not leading by example, that you're telling everybody to be in certain places. It goes a lot further if you have a player that's an established player, going to be a Hall of Famer like Chris Jones, that screws up, that admits he does. It's like Patrick Mahomes after the game, taking, you know, fault for the interception. Hey, we don't need to throw interceptions and stuff like that. That goes so much further when people take blame instead of blaming others. I mean, Ned Yost, part of what made him a great manager with the Royals, he kind of got the temperature of what the media and the fans were thinking, and he'd go in there and say, yeah, I told Burrow up to steal that base, or I told Eske to steal that base. And so put the blame on Ned Yost. But he would oftentimes take the blame when it wasn't for him.
and I just see, you know, Patrick Mahomes. Chris Jones needs to be that guy. He needs to look at how number 15 handles losses and accepts blame for things, because he's not doing it. And do I do expect more from him? I do. I expect this whole team to – they seem to be more upset yesterday after that loss to the Jags. I mean, they were all down. They were driven. I mean, they didn't talk a whole lot, you know, after that game. They're focused in. But there was a kind of a little switch that happened after that Jaguars game where we thought this team would be really mad and upset throughout the offseason. I think it really, really hit them in that Jacksonville game.
Well, let's have a switch here, Jay, to college football, because a pretty good slate after last week's boob of a week of college. Saturday kicks off Ohio State, Illinois. Then you get Alabama, Missouri as well. You get the Red River Shootout with number 6 Oklahoma playing unranked Texas Longhorns. And then 2:30, we get to crack open another fresh six-pack, and we get Indiana at Oregon. That's going to be a doozy. Plus, it's 6:30 at night, Kansas at Texas Tech. What did say you about this Missouri-Alabama matchup this year?
I love it. You know, Missouri actually won for not even playing last week and having the bye week, because Alabama gets that big win over Vanderbilt. I know it's weird saying Vanderbilt, big win for Alabama, but it was. Like, they needed that. This team's on a roll at this point. They have one of the best quarterbacks in the nation. Ty Simpson's climbing up those Heisman's odds. You know, you can find even number 2 at different places. Kalen DeBoer now 5-1 against ranked teams when he's doing well. And you look at James Franklin.
I was saying better than James Franklin, right?
Yeah. Yeah, James Franklin losing all these games. That was funny. We should get to that Penn State game because that was funny. But anyway, Alabama winning. This will be the first top 15 matchup in Columbia since 1979. Dusty, I know you weren't born at that point. Bob, were you born in 79?
I was born in 77, so yeah, I was around. Yeah, I think I watched that game, yeah.
You watched. Yeah, Missouri loses to Texas there. But the biggest matchup, the only top 15 team matchup between both teams in Columbia. You have Ahmad Hardy climbing those Heisman charts. He's starting to get the respect nationally. Bo Prabilo, the quarterback. I think Penn State is having that thoughts like, oh, man, why do we let Prabilo transfer to Missouri when he's better than their current quarterback, Drew Aller? But this is big, and Missouri starts their gauntlet now. Because then they go on the road for the first time the following week at Auburn. They still have to go to Vanderbilt. They finish the season against a very good Oklahoma Sooners team that took that number 1 defense in the country for Missouri, as Missouri sits number 2. But, yeah, what a huge game. This weekend slate, I texted you, Bob, I think. I said, just wait till next week. Mm-hmm. You know, see what you have to do last week, but get everything done for this week. But, yeah, Bama and Missouri at 11, 2:30 is ridiculous.
No doubt.
This is, Bob, on your patio, 2 TVs, because Indiana, Oregon, and then, of course, you have the TCU-Kansas State game there if you're a local fan wanting to watch Kansas State. And then, of course, Oklahoma and a very beat-up Texas team with Arch Manning. John Mateer, the quarterback of Oklahoma, people are waiting to see what his decision will be. Will he play in this game or not? They might not need him because Oklahoma is a lot better than Texas this year. But Indiana-Oregon's interesting, too, because Indiana is quietly – I think they're better than they were last year, and they were a playoff team last year. But there's interesting things going on between these Big Ten teams, Bob, that are traveling East Coast to West Coast.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Sometimes – I mean, Penn State found that out against UCLA, the traveling to 2 time zones. Oregon, clearly, they did beat Penn State, but it was double Oregon. I think Oregon is much better than Penn State, but it did take them 2 overtimes. Last year – East Coast to West Coast teams were 8-18 in conference when they had to travel 2 time zones. The NFL's figured it out. The Big Ten has not. For example, look at Penn State. You know, last week they traveled a couple time zones to the West Coast. But, yeah, teams are not doing well. Or the Huskies. The Huskies last year were 4-0 at home in conference games and 0-5 on the road in conference games. So the Big Ten has not figured out this. For betting purposes, Dust Man, you know, East Coast to West Coast to East Coast, very not going to win them all. But it's probably going to win most of them.
You know, it's interesting, Jay. Tonight begins, I think, tonight or tomorrow, 49 straight days with football. We know where you'll be.
Yeah, it's perfect, Bob. I mean, you got playoffs. Hey, we have Conference USA starting midweek action.
Thank God.
Now in college football, so you got that. You got the baseball. We had opening night in the NHL.
Yes, fall puck, Jay.
And I wonder if the Panthers will get the same kind of vitriol the Chiefs do. I mean, they've been to 3 straight Stanley Cups. Now, they did it opposite of the Chiefs because they lost that first one 3 years ago. Then they won 2 in a row Chiefs, of course, won two in a row and lost one. Maybe people just don't care about the NHL. It's just clearly I do. But I think nationally they don't. But it is funny that there's two teams in professional sports that have gone to three straight championships games, and it's the Chiefs and the Panthers.
Well, Binkley, somebody wants to let you know, Shawnee Mission East versus Shawnee Mission North football game this week. Nut Cup rivalry, baby, is what the text line wants you to know.
I love it. There is, you know, a handful of local games, local high school games, that do have rivalry trophies, you know, on the line. Oh, I did want to ask you guys something. You remember UCLA beating Penn State this weekend? Remember Jerry Neuheisel, who was their offensive coordinator?
Is he his son?
Yeah, it was Jerry, Rick's son. But everybody was talking about him. This was funny because he was, you know, Sports Center was talking about him. He was carried off the field. And you see, people think he was the coach of that game. He wasn't. Tim Skipper was the interim coach. I've rarely seen the offensive coordinator get all the love like young Neuheisel did, who was just elevated from tight ends coach. I give him credit, though. He had two days to put a game plan in and beats Penn State. But everybody assumes he was the one coaching the game. No, it was Tim Skipper. It was the offensive coordinator. Rarely do you see an offensive coordinator get that kind of love. But, you know, credit him. He did smash Penn State.
Bink knows football. Bink, we'll talk to you again next Wednesday, and let's get this win for the Chiefs on Sunday.
All right, fellas. Have a good day.
That's Jay Binkley right there for you on your airwaves. Coming up on the other side, as we continue to roll around this week, that is Chiefs football. This team is the third highest penalized team. We ask for accountability. We discuss here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.